Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Church. If someone would please pass out the ritual registration and please sign and let us know you're here. If you'd open the bulletins, there's a lot of stuff going on. One of the major things is next Sunday we have the one service Sunday with brunch afterwards. And look forward to seeing everybody at the service and at the brunch.
And that's at 9 o'clock.
Yes, 9 o'clock service, 10:30 brunch.
No Sunday school.
Okay. Around town, there's a lot of stuff going on. August 19th, the men's fellowship breakfast. We'll move back to the church. And Steve and I can probably cook a little bit better than we could at the lodge, but we did pretty good. Okay. Any other announcements?
Next Sunday night evening, 6 o'clock, it is the classical sacred, and then also adding show to concert here for community concert, but also drops in guests from or performers from around the community, from out of town. We've had guests come all the way from Watertown, and then from abroad. Russia, and we have quite a combination, quite a slate of performers. This is getting to be a popular local participation venue, so encourage everybody to come out. We'll have refreshments and just a nice summer evening of music. And also, we would like to have some stage spotlights, kind of theater lights, if anybody has access to. We're looking to rent some, something that's kind of set up on poles that would shine on the performance here, because our overhead lighting is a little bit limited for performance. So if anybody has access to the one after we find them, talk to set up or for me.
Anyone else? Another announcement? Okay. Additions or deletions to the prayer list? Anyone?
My friend Charlotte Johnson, they blew it toward her mission trip to Peru. She got back safely, had an amazing experience. Thank God. She ended up being there for 4 weeks, 3 of which she was by herself, the only English speaking person in the town. But she was revisiting a mission her grandfather had started years ago. So she said it was just incredibly moving, and I'll get together with her and see pictures.
Anyone else? If you bow your head a moment and prepare yourself for worship. As we prepare for worship, hallelujah, Christ is risen, the Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Our responsive reading this morning is in your hymnal, page 509. And if you'll look right below, Kim says that if you'll just keep your book open, the first song is 506. So you won't have to fumble through your book, you just keep it open. Our responsive reading this morning is My Life, My Joy, My All, A Brief Testimony in Praise. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. O praise the greatness of our God.
He is a rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God, he does no wrong. Upright and just is he.
The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, the rock, my Savior. I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me.
Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy will you draw water.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time.
Okay, if you'll just turn back one page to 506, I will sing of my Redeemer. Let's all stand and sing 1, 2, and 4.
Songwriter has told the story. Thank you. Thank you for paying our debt. Thank you for setting us free from sin. And thank you, Lord, for sealing us in a relationship with you. Oh, Lord God, we just offer praise and thanksgiving. We bow down before you. We are your people and you're our God. Lord, we're striving to live like your people, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit that comes and helps us along the way. And Lord, when we falter, when we stumble, Lord, you send your Spirit to convict us that we are wrong. And we confess, and you hear our prayer. And you pick us up and shake us off, and you set us on the path to go again. And oh Lord God, we just thank you and praise you. And we come this morning to just worship you. And let our thoughts, our actions, our words give unto you glory and honor and praise. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Praying as He taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing as we put in words that which we believe as Christians, the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Time in our service when we confess our sins. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. People confessing in unison, please join. Righteous God, you have crowned Jesus Christ as Lord of all. We confess that we have not bowed before him and are slow to acknowledge his rule. We give allegiance to the powers of the world and fail to be governed by justice and love. In your mercy, forgive us. Raise us to acclaim him as ruler of all, that we may be loyal ambassadors, obeying the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ. Assurance of forgiveness and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us all, us from all sin. Amen.
Our new song this morning is 548. If you please turn in your hymnal, and we'll do 1 and 3. And Melanie, if you play through one time. Oh, for special music. Y'all get to hear me some more this morning.
Above our powers, above our kings, above our nature and our created things, above our wisdom and other ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above our kingdoms, above our thrones, above our wonders the world has ever known, above our wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Maybe on a stone, you need to die, rejected and alone, like a rose, trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth.
Our offertory sentence this morning is from Proverbs 11:25. A generous person will be enriched. One who gives water will get water. Well, our ushers come forward.
Christians by our love. 1, 2, and 4, please.
Thank you. Our scripture this morning comes from Ephesians 2, verses 11 through 22. Therefore, remember that formerly you were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of man. Remember that all that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made the two one and has destroyed the barrier and dividing wall of hostility by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death the hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we have both access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens of God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. The word of God for the people of God. Okay, and there's an insert in your bulletin this morning with a song, Whosoever Will.
Okay.
We're going to do the first verse.
And then let me play it.
And sing this, because this is a great song. We're going to shout the proclamations. Let's stand up so y'all can sing loud and sing over me.
Thank you for singing it anyway, Kim. Thank you. Sam is singing this morning at Tusculum Church at both services. They're kind of having a revival month or old time songs month. And I was thinking about 2 or 3 weeks and about possibly in August ordering the worship or planning the worship a little different than we normally do. We kind of do the same thing Sunday after Sunday. And if we sang some real Southern gospel songs and didn't go through every aspect of the worship experience as we normally do for a Sunday or two, or maybe all Sundays in August. Would that bother anybody? Speak now if you ever hold your peace. Might still have quiet times for, I thought about confession times. I guess we all need confession and quiet times for confession as we're together. We're thinking about that. Workers on the mission team. I see 1, 2, 3 back on this row, and if y'all come forward. One, how many of your children? Just one, okay? And then two over here. And we had, I counted them, but I mean, I listed them over the phone the other day, but I'm not sure I don't think I ever counted. I'm not sure how many from Jenkins Church, but you had about 69 or 70? 70 people on the trip. So tell us just a little bit. You went to Oklahoma and you got hot. I know that much.
It wasn't that hot, was it? 115 degrees. No, I don't think it was hot at all. We first got there and the place was really bad. There was like really tall grass. Like the fences were all messed up. And like the building, the old cabin was terrible. And after like working from 8 to 2, the grass got mowed. And like there's volleyball nets in the field. I didn't even know were there. The fence places got put on, were stained and painted. We tore down the old cabin, built it back up. We fixed the playground. The worship there was great. Everybody started crying and stuff. It was a really fun time. We got to meet a whole lot of new people. And even after complaining and running out of water, like every day, we all had fun and we knew that it was a lot of work, but we're glad that we did it.
I got to tell y'all, this is one of the hardest workers I've ever seen in my life. I mean, I think him and John Ball, awesome.
We're just doing our part. We were there to work, and we really did get a lot done. The entire place looks a whole lot different and a whole lot better. Everyone really worked really hard. And we got to learn a little bit of the Choctaw culture, which was really cool. And like was mentioned, worship was excellent. The last night we had an outstanding worship experience. And it was just a great experience overall. And you know, I just encourage everyone who has not gone, just try go sometime, because you will not regret it. We had an excellent time.
Well, you know I want to say something. I gotta tell y'all, we got there on Saturday night, tired, long bus trip ride. We pull up to the camp. We have no electricity, which means you have no water, because the water runs on a pump. And our kids, not just our kids, all the kids were freaking out. I mean, it was, oh gosh, what are we going to do? We have no word. We had some crying, already wanting to call Mom and Daddy to send a plane ticket home. I mean, it was chaos. But we had a young adult on our trip who wants to go into the ministry. How old is Brandon?
He's
20-something. We kept everybody on the bus till we tried to figure out what's going on. The girls are crying, they're fussing, they're complaining. And Brandon says, "Stop. This is the devil trying to keep us from doing what we are supposed to be doing, and I'm not going to let him keep me from it, okay?" So we decide that we have no choice but to stay there. All the hotels in Broken Bow are full. We can't find anything. There were several options going around. But we had the men go up to each cabin and check the cabins out. Well, y'all, this is camp. We may have had cabins, roofs over our head in bunks, but they were dirty. They had bugs. The water is sulfur. It smelled to high heaven. I mean, when you come from the privileges that we come from, it's pretty scary. So we had people check the cabins out. We decided we're going to go up to the cabins. We start moving it. The electric company is there working on trying to get the power back on. What else can you do when there's nothing left to do? You pray. So we got into a big circle, and Brandon did our prayer, and it was a gorgeous, beautiful, powerful prayer. And he said, God, we pray that you would let us have lights. Now, the electric company's left by this time. As soon as the words came out of his mouth, the electricity came on. And that's the way our week started. And the, I'm telling you, it was prayers answered after prayers answered after prayers answered all week. And Thursday night, I'm going to start again. Thursday night was one of the most emotional worship experiences I have ever had. We started worship at 8:15. We left at 11 o'clock. And it was from kids standing up and giving their confession and how much this week had changed their life. It was so touching. And you know, this is not just our kids. This is kids in the Presbyterian. We've got some kids that are really tough, big, tough farm boys that are rough around the edges that, you know, girls alive, not just boys, but the girls are, you know, they're and it was amazing to see. It just proves to me that you can't look at a youth from the outwardly what they look like and maybe some of the things they're doing and say they won't ever be worth a dime, because God, that's what God uses. That's what he uses. And Tracy Spicer gave a great, you know, talking about if God can use me when I was such an awful person, he can use anybody. And talking about in the Bible how God used the people that were the downtrodden, the poor, the people who drank, the people, you know, that's the ones he uses. So always remember that when you're looking at your youth or other youth in the community, don't judge them by what you see, because you don't know what's in their heart. And we got a lot accomplished, you know, everything that, see, I said Susan had big plans for us, we got it all done. So, it was a great trip, and when we go again, I would encourage anybody that can.
That's something I'll say. If y'all see Richard Karch, beg him to play his song that he played. He played this wonderful song, and it was like God's love, like rained down on me. And like a few minutes later, it started storming and stuff like that. But it was a wonderful song. It touched everybody. We kept making requests and we played it over.
And he wrote the song himself.
Yeah, Richie, him and his roommate wrote it.
Yeah, Richie is a new member of our church. He comes to the 10 o'clock service. Big, tall guy with blonde, curly hair.
He'll be here next week. He won't be here this week. Right. He had to go see his girlfriend.
Well, he dressed up like, he's so big, we dressed him up like Bigfoot one night. So.
Yeah.
All right. But thank y'all for your prayers. We appreciate it.
And it's not, Pam said, if you see these young people who you think will never amount to much, remember how we used to be. Some people didn't think we'd amount to much. And, well, we probably surprised them, haven't we? I want to talk about unity. And this was an effort in unity between the Choctaw Indians and the Middle Tennessee youth, Southern Middle Tennessee youth. That's what Columbia Presbytery consists of. And about 20 adults, not that there's any animosity now, but in like 1820s or 1830s, there was much animosity and much fear, and that's how the Choctaws got to southeast Oklahoma, on the Trail of Tears. All of them didn't go, but some of them did, and they were not able to escape into the woods of Mississippi, and so they had to go. Many Cherokees, many Chickasaws, many others did too. There is peace now between, or there is apparent peace between the Indian nations and the white man, and there is still some bad feelings, and there is some guilty feelings. But in my lifetime, and which is 60 plus years, I can remember 50 plus of those years pretty well. There haven't been many years of peace in the world. There has not been much unity in the world. World War II, I can't remember it, but I was born in the middle of it. The Korean conflict, I still remember boys going off to war, being drafted. They called it a police action, I believe. Then there was the Cold War that started somewhere in the 50s, and there was animosity and fears and a separation between the East and the West, we being the West, and Russia loomed heavy and China loomed heavy. Then early 60s, the United States got into the Vietnam conflict, maybe before that, and the Cold War continued. Then there was Desert Storm in the Middle East. And then after Desert Storm, there were buildings blown up and ships blown up and more buildings blown up and more planes crashed. And we entered into a war in Iraq. But right before that, there was the conflict in Afghanistan. And before that, there was the conflict in Bosnia. In your lifetime, has there ever been a time of peace, even a short time of peace? I grew up in a divided community. How was it divided? It was us and them. And you can put your community in this situation too. Our fifth grade class had battle with the other fifth grade class. We were going to take over their playground once, and I got the whipping out of that one. Actually, I got two of them, because I made my brags about what I was going to, how I was going to retaliate. Can't see me acting like that, can you? It was us against them. It was Caledonia against New Hope, the two county schools on opposite sides of the county. And they were always winning, at least in football. And then it was the town folk against the city folk. And I remember as we got in high school, the town folk, actually in high school on Saturday night, Friday night there might be war, but Saturday night, the two county school people congregated at one hangout, and the city boys and girls congregated at another. And you could see each other, but never the twain should meet. We knew not to stop at Bob's place. They knew not to come to the coffee cup. Have the same situation in your community? Different names on the businesses, right? Okay. So we've been separated. It was sharecropper against landowner, and it wasn't outwardly expressed, but there was, people knew where they fit. Especially the landowners knew where the sharecroppers fit, and vice versa. We happened to be kind of in the middle. We owned our house. This was a strange situation, but had to rent land to farm. So we never knew if we were, knew we weren't landowners, but we were not totally dependent upon the landowner to make us move after the crop was gathered, or maybe before the crop was gathered. There was the in-group, and at school, there was the in-group and the not-in-group. Were you there? Was their place pretty much like this? Or were we that different? Were we that different? And it still is that way to a great degree. Incidentally, there was the Alabama folks against the Mississippi folks. There were the Monroe County folks against the Lowndes County folks. And it carried on. I would go see my cousins, and we didn't live in town, but we lived a little closer to town than they did. And they'd call me the city boy. So it was me against them. Jesus warned about divisions because of him. The divisions had nothing to do with Jesus that I've described, just to point out that we live in a divided world. Jesus warned that there would be many divisions about Him or over Him, over those who put their faith in Him. And it's in the 21st chapter of Luke that families would be divided because of Him. That's on your outline on the back of Whosoever Will, if you haven't found it yet. Fathers would be against children, etc., etc., etc. And it still is in some communities. If a child marries outside the faith, sometimes they even hold a funeral service for that child. We still live in a divided world. Jesus came as the Prince of Peace. It was not His intent that He would divide the world, but He was smart enough, knowledgeable enough, all-knowing He was knowledgeable, wasn't He? That there would be divisions because of Him. There were divisions during Jesus' day. When He was up on earth, hopefully this is Jesus' day too, right? But in the day that Jesus was up on earth in bodily form, there were divisions in society. They didn't start with us, these divisions did. The people in Israel, as we know today as the Jews, are descendants of Abraham through Isaac and through Jacob. So it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob's descendants and everybody else. And when the descendants of Jacob were in Egypt, it was Jacob's descendants and the Egyptians. When they got back to the Promised Land, it was Jacob's descendants and all these other people, other tribes, Philistines being just one. Before they went to Egypt because of a famine, under Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, it was Jacob's family, those others. It was Isaac's family and Ishmael. It was a continual division. In Jesus' day, there were those people who followed Jesus and those who did not, especially the religious leaders who were descendants of Abraham. And in the church, in the early church, there were people who were formerly Jews, and there were people in the church who were Gentiles, or the other people. Even among Christians, there was division, or lack of unity, if you will, and there still is. There still is. And one of the hindrances to the cause of Christianity and to the spreading of the gospel and people believing the gospel is that the Christians are so fragmented and so separated, and we're always fighting each other. And even in the church, in many cases, Christians, church members of the same church, so often are fighting each other. And this was not Jesus' intent. And this was not God's intent. Go back to Abraham's call and the reaffirmation of that call to Isaac and to Jacob. God's people, God's special people, were called to be blessed, but they were to be a blessing to the rest of the world. And what they did is the same thing that many do today, is
They said, we're special by God and we've been blessed. Thank you, Lord. Curse all those other people. Thank you that we're not like them. And they forgot. They didn't read far enough to know that they were supposed to be a blessing. They stopped before they got to the point of being a blessing. It was not God's intent. It was not Jesus' intent that the church be so fragmented. God calls His people to live in unity. It is His desire. It is God's will. What does God want? It's what God wants. That His people be at peace with one another. Can it ever happen? Can it ever happen? Well, the Apostle Paul, one who was so much for division in his early life, worked so hard after his conversion to Christ to bring about unity among the various factions in the church. He worked for unity and peace among God's people. And that's what this scripture lesson is about. Paul is writing to Gentile Christians because he says, you who were once Gentiles, or you who were Gentiles, and he tells them how they once were. Let's look at this, if you will. If you look under the lesson, we'll just kind of go down through the scripture. At least this day, I'm preaching almost directly from the Bible. I try to each Sunday, but right now we will. Paul reminds the Egyptians, the Ephesians. My handwriting, some people said it's the worst they've ever seen, and I agree. One thing I'm good at is writing worse than anybody else. But I bring notes here. The Ephesians, not the Egyptians, the Ephesians. He writes to the Ephesians who were Gentiles. And he talks about how they once were. They were Gentiles by birth, and all the Jewish Christians spoke of them as being the uncircumcised. The circumcised people or the Jewish people would talk down when they're talking about the non-Jewish Christians who had not come in through becoming Jews first. And there were people in the church who taught that you had to become a practicing Jew or Hebrew before you could become a Christian. You had to go through the rite of circumcision before God would smile upon you or before God would love you. He said you were Gentiles, you were separated from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship in Israel. You were foreigners to the covenant, this covenant that God would bless them. They're going back to the covenant with Abraham, but reaffirmed with Isaac and Jacob. Excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise. And Paul says, you were without hope. And you were without God. Verse 13 speaks of them being far away or separated from God. Not a very pretty circumstance, is it? Outcast, if you will. That's what they were. They had been cast out by those who thought that they were special in God's eye, and had forgotten the last part of the calling to be a special people. They were not welcome in the temple of God. If you find a description or a picture of the temple or a drawing of the temple in Jerusalem, there was the court of the Gentiles, and then there was a wall. And the Gentiles were not allowed to go past that wall. And inside the temple, or inside the temple wall, there were other walls. And only the high priest could go once a year into the Holy of Holies.
But the Gentiles were left way out here on the outer edge. And the attitude was, just like it is today, he is one of them. He is not one of us. And there, those outcasts, those Gentiles, met Jesus. They met the Christ. They met the Savior, be they in Ephesus or wherever they be. They met God's Son. And God's Son came to take away the sin of the world. God's Son came as the one in whom anyone who would, or whosoever would come, is called to believe for salvation. John 3:16, if you want a proof text there. And in Christ or through Christ Jesus, they had been brought near through the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ paid for the sin that they had committed. The blood of Christ and their faith in Christ's death and the shedding of His blood brought them into fellowship with God through Christ. Or through Christ, they were brought near. Near to God. The door was open. The barrier was torn down. Remember, at the crucifixion, the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. The veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the people. There was access into the most holy place through Christ Jesus. Those who had been so far away, those uncircumcised people, those Gentile people, were brought near. Not only those people, but you and I too. You are brought near through Christ. I'm brought near through Christ. And verse 14 speaks of Jesus being our peace. Two parties were separated in conflict. Someone whom both love comes and brings the two parties together. Peace is made. It doesn't happen in the court of law. If you watch the People's Court or any of the television court scenes, after the judge makes his decision, somebody is still unhappy. But in the court of Jesus, people come together in love. The Jewish Christians love Jesus. I said the Jewish Christians love Jesus. And the Gentile Christians love Jesus. And Jesus, Paul was saying, has brought us together with the Messianic Christians and the Gentile Christians. And Paul continues to say, the two became one. There's not two separate groups in Christ. We are one. Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. All Christians. One new people made out of two. Two groups through Christ have come together and are made into one. But friends, one would not know that by looking at the church today, some 2,000 years later, with its many divisions. You would think that Jesus had never made us into one. But even with the divisions, does it have to always be us and them? Can it not be, we are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, and they will know that we are Christians by our love. One new person, one new group, not another like the old, but new in the sense of the two living in unity. We don't have to like the same music as a church down the street. We don't have to like the order of their worship service, of the style of their worship. But we can respect one another. And we can encourage one another in their method of approaching God. Because Jesus, by the shedding of His blood on the cross, put enmity to death. I believe there's another word for enmity there in our lesson today. Hostility. He put the hostility between us to death. Through Jesus, we all have access to the Father. Verse 19 says that in Christ, we all are citizens of heaven. And in verse 20 through 22, Paul speaks of, we are the building of God. One piece here, one piece there, but together we make the building of God. The call is to unity. And I think this is a very appropriate subject for today. You heard about the circle? He drew a circle and shut me out, but I drew a circle and took him in. I like what Paul wrote to the Galatian church. They had a big conflict between the circumcised and the uncircumcised. And the Judaizers came and said, you can't be a part of the family of God. You can't get to heaven unless you're circumcised. And Paul said, in Christ, we are one. We are not Jew or Greek. We're not even male or female. We're not slaves or free. But we are one. Galatians 3:28. Christ is our peace. And we let Him rule if we belong to Him. What is the lesson today, or what is in this lesson is relevant for us today? Don't participate in divisions. Live in unity. Just know that we are working with all Christians to redeem the world from sin for Christ. And let's keep drawing larger circles. But if you're not a believer, if you're not a part of the kingdom of God, if you have not come near to God by the blood of Christ, you have not claimed the salvation that He provided for us when He died on Calvary, this is your opportunity to open your heart and say to Jesus, come in, forgive my sin, and be the Lord of my life. Now we might put it, this is your opportunity to put your trust in Jesus and come near to God. Let's sing together. The number of the song is 281, The Bond of Love. Will you stand with me? And maybe you have a public response to make that you'd like to make here at the altar this morning. We invite you to make that if that is your need today. Certainly, every one of us can say we're going to do our part to live and serve in unity with all of God's children. We are one in the bond of love. We are one in the bond of love. We are one in the bond of love. We have joined our spirit with the Spirit of God. We are one in the bond of love. Let us sing now, everyone.
Let us feel His love begun. Let us join our hands that the world we know. We are one in the bond of love.
Lord, send us forth as a united people and help us to be in unity with all Your people, working for Your kingdom's growth, the salvation of man. In Christ's name, amen. You are dismissed. You can see my writing. Can you read that? They have to learn to listen to people, don't they? So they have to learn to read.
Hey, Mr. Charlie.